Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel out there on the internet. First on the docket, Suzanne Morphew disappeared 9 months ago today. Where does the case stand? Second, an arrest has been made for the attacks in the Oakland's Chinatown district. Third, a bond reduction for a former Ohio police officer. Fourth, turn the damn TV off if you know what's good for you. Fifth, why you don't take other people's things. Six, told you this never works. Seven, our dumb criminal on Monday strikes back. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button. Make sure you leave us a comment, and as always, hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. We had a great discussion last night on our Tuesday Night Live, as well as the Patreon show immediately thereafter. Yes, I am in casual attire today. Why? No court appearances, no WebEx, no Zoom, nothing. And it was cold and snowy here, so we went completely casual. All right, straight to the docket. 9 months ago today, Suzanne Morphew disappeared in Salida, Colorado, and the investigation continues. Now, the Colorado Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, as well as local law enforcement continue to investigate this case. And the sheriff's office has stated that they have looked into more than 1,300 tips from the public. The police also have stated that they have done 180 interviews, more than 130 searches, which include sealed warrants, and they've received, like I said, over 1,300 tips. The Morphew family and friends are offering up to a $200,000 reward for anyone that can bring Suzanne Morphew back safely. Now, what we do know is that apparently somebody recovered Suzanne Morphew's bike on the day that she was last seen, Mother's Day. The sheriff has asked that any video footage from doorbell cameras, surveillance cameras, anything along those lines from May 8th to May 12th be saved and turned over to the sheriff's office. As of to date, there's still no suspects. Now, on May 17th of last year, we know that her husband, Barry Morphew, posted a video on Facebook pleading for whomever took Suzanne to bring her back safely. No questions asked. Searchers began their search near US Highway 50 and Monarch Pass, where someone reportedly found an item that they believed belonged to the missing mom, i.e. the bike. The police have tried to explain to the public that it's not unusual for these types of investigations to start at the home and then extend outward, which the police have done. The sheriff's office continues to say that this is a missing persons case, but they are considering all possibilities surrounding her disappearance. Barry Morphew, the husband, he was apparently staying in a hotel here in the Denver area, specifically in Broomfield, during his wife's disappearance, which is about 150 miles away from Salida. Barry Morphew has speculated the possibility that his wife, Suzanne Morphew, was possibly involved in a tragic roadway accident, or possibly even attacked by an animal, or maybe she stopped to talk to somebody that she possibly knew rather well. Now, Mr. Morphew has been pretty quiet throughout the investigation because he thought that he was being portrayed negatively in the media, so he decided to simply remain silent. Now, he has responded when Suzanne Morphew's brother, Andrew Moorman, who has set up a private search which spanned several days and did involve local police authorities, basically speculated that his sister was murdered, and he believes that it is a domestic violence case. Morphew responded to that by simply stating that the brother, Andrew Moorman, rarely even kept in contact with his sister, and he basically didn't know what he was talking about. No suspects, no arrests. The search continues. If anyone has information related to the disappearance of Suzanne Morphew, please contact investigators at area code 719-312 7530. Next on the docket, we talked about this on Monday. There were a series of attacks in the Chinatown district in Oakland, California. And a couple of celebrities, specifically Daniel Wu and Daniel Dae Kim, offered a $25,000 reward, leading to the suspect in the January 31 assault that we brought to you. And guess what? A man has been arrested. A gentleman by the name of Yahe Muslim is 28 years old, and he has been charged with 3 counts of assault with force likely to produce great bodily injury and 1 count of elder or dependent adult abuse. Mr. Muslim had previously been booked into the Dublin, California jail on February 1st on other unrelated charges. His bail is set at $85,000. And as we showed you on the video, it is alleged that Mr. Muslim would literally walk up and push down elderly individuals. Many people alleged that these were hate crimes brought against Chinese people in retaliation for China allegedly starting the coronavirus pandemic. No word as to what Mr. Muslim's motives were, and obviously will give him the presumption of innocence unless and until he pleads guilty or is found guilty by a jury of his peers. Next on the docket, an ex-Ohio police officer charged in the shooting death of Andre Hill gets his bond reduced. That's right. Mr. Adam Coy, he is a former Columbus, Ohio police officer who's been charged in the shooting death of Andre Hill. His bond was previously set at $3 million, and the judge reduced it down to $1 million. Possibly very unlikely that Mr. Coy will be able to make that bond as well, given the fact that he was a public servant. More than likely, the judge wants him to remain in custody with a bond that high. Not to mention, he is charged with a crime which carries a maximum penalty of life in prison. One could be a flight risk even if you were a former police officer. Now, Mr. Coy's attorney did argue that he was not a flight risk, and in fact that he had cooperated throughout the entire investigation. And for those of you who do not recall the situation where Mr. Hill, 47, was killed on December 22nd, after Coy shot him 4 times. Then former officer Coy and another officer were called to a house after a person turning a car engine on and off was reported as being suspicious. When the officers arrived, their body cams recorded without audio show Hill walking towards the officers out of the garage and down a driveway holding a cell phone in his hand where he was shot by officer Coy. There was neither weapon found at the scene or on Mr. Hill. Mr. Coy was fired from the Columbus division of the police department days after the shooting. We'll continue to follow this case and we'll continue to see if the former police officer can come up with a $1 million bond to be released. You may recall Derek Chauvin came up with a $1 million bond. We'll see if his family and friends are still standing behind him. Next on the docket, turn the damn TV off if you know what's good for you. Marilyn Ann Kepler is a 74-year-old woman facing charges for aggravated assault regarding a domestic violence incident. And she was arrested in Bullhead City, Arizona, accused of hitting her sleeping boyfriend in the head with a hammer because he left the television on overnight and it was disturbing her sleep. That's right. You can't make this up. The police were apparently alerted Monday afternoon to a 74-year-old man being treated for head injuries at the hospital in Kingman, Arizona. The man told hospital staff that he had awoken to Ms. Kepler hitting him in the head at their home in Bullhead City. The victim's name has not been released. He also told the police that he managed to convince Kepler to drive him to the hospital to receive treatment for his injuries. But instead, he said Kepler drove past the hospital and allegedly pulled a gun on him. The man said that he was able to wrestle the gun away from Kepler and get out of the vehicle, and then she drove off. There were witnesses nearby who saw the incident and took the gentleman into their care and took him immediately to the hospital. Kepler was ultimately found and taken into custody, and she did admit that she was upset with her boyfriend because he had left the television on during the night and she could not sleep. Wow. Now, there's no information that Ms. Kepler has any sort of arrest history, but it makes you wonder if Ms. Kepler has a little pent-up anger, or maybe if there is some onset of some mental health issues going on there. Either way, we'll give her the presumption of innocence, but she could spend the rest of her days behind bars, as those are very serious charges. All right, a quick recess. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship, you're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, this is an example why you don't take other people's things. A South Florida man will not face charges for fatally shooting a car thief who took his boss's Mercedes-Benz G-Class SUV in Miami Beach. Stephen Lott, who's 50 years old, shot the suspect, Jose Antonio Reyes Bermudez. He was 58. It was alleged that Reyes Bermudez stole the SUV from a South Beach car wash. Prosecutors then said that Lott ran outside of the car wash in the waiting area and shouted at the suspect to try and stop him. As he stepped into the path of the Mercedes, which was traveling at a high rate of speed, he fired two shots at the driver, Reyes Bermudez, and one struck Reyes Bermudez in the head. Prosecutors cleared Lott of any wrongdoing in their closeout memo, basically justifying why charges won't be filed, saying that he had the legal right to stand his ground and use deadly force to protect himself from death or great bodily harm, while Mr. Reyes Bermudez was committing and escaping from committing a forcible felony, i.e. motor vehicle theft. I'd love to be able to show you the video, but I can't. Why? That's right. YouTube will take it down and give us a community strike, and they'll basically say, we can't put up any videos for a few days, weeks, or even months. So what we've done is we put the video on our Patreon page and you can take a look at it. Whether you think Mr. Lott was justified and should have been cleared by the prosecutor, or maybe he was really kind of to the side of the vehicle, as you would note in the memoranda that Mr. Reyes Bermudez was shot in the temple, which would also indicate that he was shot from somebody on the side of the vehicle. But needless to say, Florida Stand Your Ground law requires no duty to retreat. And Mr. Lott told police officers at the scene that he was in fear for his life, and he then shot Mr. Reyes Bermudez. Good example why you don't take other people's things. Exhibit A, Mr. Reyes Bermudez. That's right. Someone who is friends with somebody who's having their property stolen, or the individual having their property stolen, could shoot somebody. Now, please understand, this is a car that can be replaced, that more than likely was covered by insurance and probably would have been recovered by the police normally within 48 hours, which is roughly the time that cars are recovered when they're stolen. Mr. Lott got lucky in this particular situation because he was cleared. But I imagine Mr. Lott had a few sleepless nights wondering if he was going to be charged and prosecuted for the death of Mr. Reyes Bermudez. I am all for self-defense. I am all for firearms under the Second Amendment. What I tell my clients all the time is that firearms complicate everything. This is the car. Sometimes you gotta just let it go. Mr. Lott, you got lucky in this particular situation. Hope you think twice before ever doing that again. Next on the docket, I told you this stuff never works. How many murder for hire cases have we talked about over the last several weeks? How many people have got arrested? That's right, all of them. Well, now a Wisconsin woman is charged with attempting to hire someone on the dark web and by paying with Bitcoin to arrange the death of an unidentified individual. Kelly Harper, 37, was arrested on February 5th on a federal criminal complaint charging her with using the internet to hire someone to commit murder, and that was filed in the Western District of Wisconsin. It is alleged that Ms. Harper used a murder-for-hire site on the dark web, and she made numerous communications between October and December 10th of 2020. She did this in an attempt to find someone to kill an unidentified intended victim. Harper allegedly gave out information about the intended victim, including a physical description of the person and their vehicle, where the person worked, as well as the person's cell phone number, all according to the criminal complaint. Harper allegedly made a Bitcoin payment in the murder for hire attempt, and now she faces a maximum penalty of up to 10 years in federal prison. Apparently, Harper's plan was tipped off to federal and local investigators because the intended victim and a journalist reportedly uncovered this plot. The person claiming to be the site administrator of the murder for hire site asked for proof of payment, and Ms. Harper sent a screenshot of that. Well, when the police searched Ms. Harper's residence, what did they find? Well, that's right, the email communications, the searches on her computer, as well as the screenshot showing the payment. We'll give Ms. Harper the presumption of innocence, but it looks like she's going to have a rough road ahead. All right, do you remember Monday's dumb criminal contestant, Yuri Andrade? Well, he strikes back. Maybe this was in retaliation for not being the big winner already this week, but he's still got a chance. You remember Mr. Andrade went streaking across Super Bowl 55? Well, he apparently hit the strip club immediately upon his release. He apparently had to be dragged off stage while still wearing his thong bathing suit, and he apparently was quite happy. Apparently, he made a bet claiming that somebody would streak in the Super Bowl. Well, he took matters into his own hands and apparently won $370,000. So I doubt Mr. Andrade is going to win, since I doubt he needs a Crime Talk mug when you got $370,000. Make sure you set at least 40% aside for your taxes, Mr. Andrade. On a side note, Mr. Andrade did give a comment about what was the worst thing that happened during his arrest. Well, apparently he had a wedgie from the thong in his bathing suit, and the police wouldn't let him fix that little situation. There's a consequence to all actions, Mr. Andrade. All right, next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Please meet Dustin Tyrell, 21 years old. He was facing up to 20 years in prison. What did Mr. Tyrell do to face possibly up to 20 years in prison? Was it a murder for hire plot or something along those lines? No, that's right. Mr. Tyrell was arrested for throwing those grapefruit-sized rocks through the store. Why? Was it for bad service? No. Was it because he was kicked out for no shoes, no shirt, no service? No. He was upset because they no longer sold Cinnabons. That's right. We've all been there. You know, you used to see a Cinnabon in the mall and they were closed. It was frustrating. Well, Mr. Tyrell took it to the next level. And he won't be able to get any Cinnabons anytime soon down there in Key West, Florida, because as part of his plea agreement, he pled guilty to criminal mischief and throwing missiles into an occupied building. As I stated, he was looking up to 20 years in prison. Well, now he pled guilty and received 4 years of misdemeanor probation. Now, Mr. Tyrell, we're thinking he's going to have a difficult time following through, because when he was on bond, well, he had his bond revoked for allegedly punching his dad in the face. We'll try to keep track of Mr. Tyrell, because I somehow think he's going back for more Cinnabons. All right, That's all we have for you today. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for watching Crime Talk. We'll see you tomorrow.